Okay, the name, the constellation of Centaurus, another name for it was Cheiron, Cheiron. It means the pierced one, or one who pierces. In the Greek fables, he was renowned for his skill in hunting and music, athletics, and prophecy. All the distinguished heroes of Greece are described as his disciples. He was supposed to be immortal, but he voluntarily agreed to die. And he was wounded by a poisoned arrow while in conflict. He transferred his immortality to Prometheus, whereunto he was placed among the stars. Now,
Prometheus is the bringer of fire, is that?
Yeah, you can see what a perversion that is.
Yeah, you can see that with the fire and the spirit.
Oh, it's worse, but I'm not going to get into it tonight.
Is there any meaning about what's on his shield? Or is that just something that...
Hmm?
The pattern on his shield.
It's probably just something he did.
Is that just something there?
I don't know.
Some
doodle. I don't know.
Something Ronnie did while he was talking about
The fable or the myth is a perversion of the stories that are of the truth of the stars that was passed on from Abraham to Seth to Enoch to Noah to Shem. The truth can still be dimly seen through it, and we can see Christ of whom it was originally spoken, the all-wise, the all-powerful teacher, the prophet, who went about doing good, yet was despised and rejected of men, and he voluntarily laid down his life.
And passed on.
Mm-hmm.
And passed on.
He thought the killing, the sacrifice, and he's the sacrifice.
Right, that's what I want to say. The next thing is he's destroying the enemy. Now, or destroying them. He's destroying something. Lupus, the animal or the beast. Now, there's all kinds of interesting things going on here. Let me talk a minute about. Remember, everything that all myths, I believe, all prophecies, all scripture. Is connected to Genesis 3. The idea that the seed of woman would do battle or be in some kind of a mystical struggle or some kind of a struggle with the seed of the serpent. Now, this struggle position has been lost in the stars and in the zodiac and it isn't lost in ancient mythology. There's still struggles going on. Now, the struggle of life should be between the seed of woman and the serpent. Those are the ones that are doing battle. Right? Okay. But we always see something else. If that was true, we would then in our if we had somehow preserved that mystical truth, then we would have seen the mother and child, kind of the child of the seed would be deified, and the serpent would be despised and rejected. You see? Well, just the opposite is true. Now, okay, can everybody find Scorpio? It's
Scorpio.
Louie can't.
What's Scorpio look like?
It's a bug.
Scorpion, but
it's a bug.
But you can't really find it very well in this map.
It's right next to Libra.
It's almost cut off. His tail's cut off.
His tail's cut off.
Is it?
Oh, there it is. Right there.
It's like sort of...
Lobster. Looks like a crawfish.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this is a Cajun sign.
Cajun sign.
It's unclean.
Shut up.
You have to suck Scorpio's
It's very
head.
Edible.
Oh. What? What's that? I'm sure glad they've been right on
the Cajuns suck crawfish heads.
I knew they ate crawfish. I didn't know they sucked their head.
They suck stuff out of the head.
Well, some suck and some eat.
Okay, wait a minute. Just okay. Do you see that? There's that. There's a man there.
Stepping
on the head of the scorpion.
Man with a big snake in his hand.
His name is Orpheucus. Okay, he's got his foot on the head of the scorpion, and he's also holding the serpent, and he's trying to pull the serpent back from trying to take the crown. We'll get into that later.
Oh, that's what's happening.
But he's also, if you notice, the scorpion is, you remember I told you Libra wasn't a scale, it was the altar. And the scorpion is trying to appropriate the altar.
This is starting to look like it's moving, and it's starting to look like a great big battle.
Well, it is. We're going to see it.
It's really
it's a big battle.
Yeah, that puts
Star Wars.
You had somebody step on. Yeah.
Star Trek 4.
Now, notice the thing that has happened to Libra. In the ancient maps, Libra was an altar. It was the sign of the altar. It was for the tribe of Levi. It was in this, you know, we'll get into that later. I want to get into that. But anyway, and Christ was born on September 29th, which is the sign of Libra. Got changed to the scales. So instead of an altar, which is a place of sacrifice, it became good and evil.
Judgment.
So in effect, in by sight, the scorpion, which it has succeeded in appropriating,
the altar.
Wow. You understand?
Each one of these.
We're going to talk about it.
Each one of these revolves around each one, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Anyone you look at, everything touching it is.
Tells a story. Okay, now, so we got I can't pronounce his name. Orpheus, or Orpheus. Okay, now look at Hercules. Can you find Hercules? Hercules is upside down, right above Orpheus. Okay.
He's holding three-headed something.
He looks just like Steve.
Okay, look at Orpheus. His head is on Draco. He's bruising the head of the serpent.
Turn upside down.
Whose head?
Draco,
the serpent.
Oh, his foot is on Draco's head.
Right.
Okay.
But he's also got a club in his hand, and he's destroying what I believe used to be a 10-headed serpent.
He's whooping that shit out of him. Harry needs a planetarium.
That's neat.
You see that?
Yeah, that's really neat.
Did you see that? So again, we have the man. What?
Well, I was sober, freaked out. I had the Star Trek going. Wow, wow, and all the Louis sitting over there going.
Louis stole your Star Trek.
But these two guys compared to.
Okay, just wait a minute.
They don't have two natures.
Just don't wait a minute. Okay, so we got. Now let's go. There's another one. Let's go and find. Okay. Your test is to find Orion.
I found him. Daryl doesn't count. He's a professional star person.
Okay, Orion is
on
the side.
Opposite side.
Opposite side from where you were.
He's killing the bull.
Okay. He's got an animal head that he's killing with a club.
Looks like a lion with glasses.
Quite large. That's not it.
But he's also stepping or putting his foot on the head of the sacrifice.
Yeah. And he's about to whack the bull.
Yeah, it's not. No, he's not going to whack the bull. He's going to whack the thing in his hand.
The lion flosses.
The animal in his hand, the beast.
Is this supposed to be a lamb down here?
Don't worry about where we're not.
Well, the bull is not happy about him whacking the thing in his hand.
Huh?
The bull is not happy about him. The
bull probably is getting a little pissed off. But the point of it is, you can see...
He's looking up too, going, oh, shit, the bull.
Uh-oh, here comes the bull.
Okay, but you can see this... Now, we've also just seen Centaurus, the man of two natures, which is outside the eclipse. I mean, so therefore you don't know, you can't see the battle. But he is also, he's the man of two natures, but you can't see it by following the he's way, you can't see him hardly. He's way below the, he's below the horizon. And of course the star, the cross is really hidden. But he's also piercing the sacrifice, or the beast. Okay?
What's under Orion's feet?
The sacrifice.
Sacrifice. The beast.
Oh. Under his feet?
You know, yeah, he's got, he's the beast, there's a beast under his feet. We'll get to that later. I just wanted to give you a little free stuff. This is remedial.
And what's in his hand? What's is that
the
a little,
can I ask what the weird looking thing is? With the fish tail? And
which one?
Stuck on
the
cetus.
Oh, cetus. No, you can't ask me that.
What's in Orion's hand?
Huh?
What's in Orion's hand that he's going to whack?
What do you think it is?
It looks like Bert Lars. That's what it looks like.
It's the head of the beast.
Bert Lars and his feet are on the beast at the same time, too.
Of another beast.
Yeah. It's like a lion with glasses to me.
Okay, now. Orion is coming, his foot is coming down on the head of Lepus. Now, but again, I want you to just think about this. There's some kind of a struggle going on. It's between the seed of the virgin and the beast, or more than one beast, two beasts. Okay? And there's a further development in the personality of the beast as we're going to see this clear as we go through the process. But there's something going on here. And it's a struggle between the seed of woman and the seed of the serpent. And the serpent takes on, or the beast takes on different forms. Now, the interesting thing about it is that you can see, once you see that you're not a seed of a woman can't have a seed, therefore it has to be a virgin birth. You can come, if you look at this with any clarity, you can see that the struggle never has anything to do with you.
Right, because it's the seed of the woman that's always doing battle.
The seed of the woman is doing the battle.
Is this why he said the kingdom of heaven is within you? This is what's going on in you?
That's right.
No, I don't think I've ever seen that as clearly as just now.
No wonder everybody walks around feeling in turmoil.
Well, wait until you, there's so much we could study about this, but there's...
So the heat's on?
Heat's on.
You said or heard people say things like, I feel like there's a battle going on inside me. I'm all at odds with myself.
That's the other thing. Everything you read, there's always two consciousnesses.
Oh, yeah.
Two consciousnesses. Everything. All Shakespeare plays, you know, various things trying to repress down other things.
Well, the mind and the
rest. We usually call it good.
Like the whole thing.
But we always call it
bizarre.
Now,
yes and no.
Continuous perception of two natures. Always.
It's not good.
Part of what archaeology has found out is in, like in Egypt, there's all kinds of things that they found in temples and stuff, and the hieroglyphics, and they found a dream book, a book that interprets dreams.
I've got a copy of it, by the way.
And they found it was from a little town. I mean, it wasn't like a pharaoh's dream book. It was from this little, the leader guy in this little town that was the dream interpreter. and but they, and part of them, they've been able to define that some of the stuff that they've seen on the, that are painted on the walls and the, in the tombs and otherwhere, what they really are is pictures of a sub, of your subconscious. In the same way that this is a picture of your subconscious. Now, don't forget Freudian stuff for a while. We're not going to talk about id, ego, and superego. We're going to talk about awareness and not awareness. Okay? Now, this star chart, this signs of the zodiac, reveal not only the real thing that's going, the only real thing that's going on in time and space, but they reveal what's going on below your awareness. You understand that? Mm-hmm. Now, the only way that the warfare is finished in you so that there's no longer this battle going on below your awareness is to bring it into one. So that you are in harmony, conscious awareness and unawareness, with universe and heaven, or New Jerusalem, or
truth,
or, you know, so that, as we said, the purpose of Rosh Hashanah was to bring that which is outside of time in the upper matronon down to the lower, the Word made flesh. Well, in a very real sense, our function, or my function, is to cause you to see the finishedness of all things. And the way the ancient rabbis, my role as a tzaddik, as another role name in the mystical name for what I do, is to cause you to spiritualize all of the natural.
The question is that, when that is manifest, does that bring an end to the internal struggle?
Well, no, it just, it causes you to see the struggle is finished. The lie, the beast, is still running around trying to...
That continues.
Oh, yeah.
In the subconscious all the time, and once in a while we'll come into the...
Well, I'm not sure it continues in the subconscious. That's a whole other world. We're going to get into that tonight. I'm not sure. I don't think it any longer. But there's a point in time in which the thing that's set before you is total peace. The absence of againstness. Now, that's why Christ said, how often I would have gathered you under my wings, but you would not. Now, the wings, the only wings he's talking about is the Shekinah glory, the wings on the mercy seat. In Isaiah it says, your warfare is accomplished in quietness, and in confidence you shall be saved. Paul, whoever wrote Hebrews, but I think it was Paul, said, you know, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, where you cease from your own labors or your own warfare.
It's like, if you think that you're the seed of woman, then you're running around trying to fight all these battles and to kill all these dragons.
Right.
And when you see that you're not, then...
Right, now that's what we're going to talk about next, is the false religion and how it's symbolized.
Back to the awareness of and unawareness of this going on. You know, just by seeing this, you know, it brings more of it to conscious awareness.
Right. And then you can speak it out of existence. You can, you have the authority. That's what, remember we remember a few weeks ago or months ago we talked about keys. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we sort of set the keys aside because you didn't know what do you do with them. But you still have the keys. And as we continue now, you're going to find out what to do with those keys.
Yeah, part of what's dawning on me this evening is the interconnectedness of each piece of this.
Yeah, it's a mosaic.
Mosaic.
It's one.
At any point you pick, everything around it touches it, et cetera, et cetera. And that is, I can see that that's a picture of this in here, the interconnectedness of everything in the head.
Now, you're not going to be able to go someplace and find out, you know, this, nobody else is saying what we're saying here, so don't look for validity in
higher scholarship. You agreed there for a split second.
The word is other scholarship.
Revelation. I know you guys love Revelation.
It's getting kind of neat.
Revelation. What's really neat is the way what we're doing in the two groups is so different. Because I can see what this has to do with bringing everything up captive.
Right. Remember, every thought doesn't just mean conscious thought. It means conscious and subconscious. Remember, I told you, you're responsible for your dreams.
You know, when I heard that, it was like, well, that's not fair because I can't control my dreams. But I can't control your consciousness either.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
Well, that brings up a question. I'm sure that dream, I'm sure everybody dreams, but we don't remember them. Why?
Well, the quick answer would say because you don't need to. You only need to remember them when you remember them. What?
I said I remember practically all of mine. What a bummer!
No, you don't. You don't remember a tenth of them.
Yeah, I saved President Reagan a couple nights ago.
Hmm?
I said I saved President Reagan a couple nights ago.
From what?
It is the anti-grace. I was trying to assassinate him, and I hit him with a chair.
You were trying to assassinate him, and you hit him with a chair.
Yeah.
No, it comes, the dreams, and a lot of, I mean, we're talking deep level stuff now, but all of the stuff in your life ends up when you try to assume one of these identities.
What?
Yeah. You try to assume one of these identities as, you know, in your dream he was trying to be Hercules or something.
Try to be Sidon.
One of them's always predominant in you.
Well, yeah, but let's not worry about that one right now.
And that definitely substantiates the thought that this is the origin of all drama, myth.
Right.
Fiction.
Well, this is the only drama.
Yeah.
But it's seen through the glass darkly, and therefore it's perverted.
These correlate with the high place identities?
Mm-hmm.
It's necessary.
Oh, which one's the old faggot?
if this is
no, it,
this is down here, then what else could drama come from? It's like they're all, this is all that there is.
Yeah.
You don't have anything else to pick from.
Yeah, in order for it to work, that would be necessary, wouldn't it?
He's trying to fight. Harry's trying to find an old fag over there.
He has the pink socks on right there.
I just want to see what's in the center of the drama.
Draco.
Draco and Cepheus.
A beaver.
Cepheus and Bucky Beaver.
It's not
like a
Bucky
beaver.
Beaver.
It's like a beaver. With straight legs.
Bear. Draco's in the center of the drama.
Yes,
stupid. Yep.
Like I should know that it's so obvious.
Yeah. It all makes sense.
It's not a beaver, that's a ferret.
There's no ferrets up there.
There's
no ferrets up there.
It's a ferret.
Think about this.
Yeah,
huh?
Excuse me. Ferret.
Just think about the implications. Try to, don't try to figure it out. I mean, I hate this word, but try to make it a gestalt. Well, it's the only. I mean, we have to invent our own word because gestalt has too much.
How about zeitgeist?
Zeitgeist is a great one.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to. We never get done if I start in Revelation, so I'm not. We're gonna.
Oh. Now come on. We get
them. Only rude.
Okay, now, whenever, remember, you gotta keep. Let's go, everybody. We gotta read. You gotta always keep Genesis 3 in your mind. You'll never understand anything. So let's go back there and read it. Just before we do that, look, just to give you a feel of stuff, look and see how many times there's a serpent.
Count the snakes. Find the pope in the pizza.
Okay, there's...
Does that count the fishy-looking snakes?
There's a lot of serpents. There's one serpent that goes all the way up. It starts, the tail of it is at Libra, and it goes all the way up to Cancer. But anyway, so somehow the serpent is an important character in this drama. Now, we could go to all the scriptures that talk about the great serpent and the evil serpent and the, you know, it's. But let's just go to the one.
If nothing else, it makes the point that the serpent is necessary.
Right. Now, in Genesis 3, well, first, the first, well, we just got done reading about making a woman in Genesis 2. And now it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now, you gotta remember that I told you I didn't get one thing right when we were talking about this before. Remember I said at the time the pyramid was built that the descending passageway pointed to the constellation Draco, but I said the star Dracon. It was the constellation Draco, but it was the star Thuban in that constellation. Now, you won't see it on here, but Thuban was the north star at the time for that descending passage. And Thuban is the ancient word that means subtle. So the serpent is more subtle. The serpent, the North Star is in the constellation Draco, which is the serpent, and it points downward to the descending inexorable passage in the pyramid.
To the pit.
You can't get out. It's like, you know, the human race is falling down that pit, and they're scratching on the walls. And
what does subtle mean?
Well,
or Thuban.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians 3, or 2 Corinthians 11. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now that battle is the battle. That's the definition of the battle, the subtlety of the battle. And it corrupts you from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, part of that simplicity is the finishedness. You understand that? Part of that simplicity is its clarity. Now, subtlety then always has to do with defining for yourself good and evil. That's how the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. You understand? That some situation that you're confronting is good or evil, as opposed to simply the arena. Now, that's the meaning of subtlety.
There's something that struck me the other day. The other night we were talking about the crucifixion, and about the water and the blood coming out of the side of Christ, and you made the relationship between God taking Eve out of Adam's side, the first Adam, the bride came out of his side, the last Adam, the bride came out of his side. And what hit me and just came to me again was that the deception was when Eve said, God said, you shall not touch nor eat the fruit. And Eve touched the fruit and chewed it up and in her mouth and swallowed it, and then got her husband to agree with her and do the same thing, the first Adam. And it's like the bride and the last Adam, the bride is to touch the fruit, maybe even bite it, chew it up, but to spit it out.
Well, we'll address ourselves to that in a minute. But part of the other, that's part of what's in Genesis 3. But part of the other aspect of the simplicity that is in Christ and the finishedness, it's several places, but I'll just read one of them in Isaiah 40. You don't have to go there. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sin. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, your warfare is accomplished. Okay? Now, another one. Where am I? Can't find it right now. Another one says, that in quietness and in confidence you shall be saved. I mean, that's kind of neat. It's like in the New Testament, when it says he will it and do it in you. He that has begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it. I mean, it's all based on that aspect of trust. And all that God is trying to get you to do is to trust him. That's all. He doesn't care about all the do's and don'ts. All the do's and don'ts went out at the cross. Do this and don't do that. Well, that's in the realm of the law. That's in the realm of the false struggle. It's interesting. It's doo-doo. Yeah.
God has a good sense of humor.
Okay, now back to Genesis 3. Am I communicating with you?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, and it's... Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, look at what God said compared to what she said. Verse 17, chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, what did the woman do? She said, I can't eat of it, and I can't touch of it. I can't touch it. And therefore, since she couldn't touch it, It always, the thing, it always had dominion, because mystically and symbolically, the way you have dominion over something is you lay your hand on it.
So she was really, in her mixed up state, she was really saying, the Lord God has said, we shall not have dominion. We shall not take dominion over good and evil.
Right. Now that's why, even in the concept of translating, where it said, abstain from youthful lusts, or flee from youthful lusts, that should be translated, be fed up with youthful lusts, or have dominion over them. Now the only way you can have dominion over something is to have placed, is to have it have no more power over you. The things that, if you are against something, or if I preach to you something that you should be consciously against, anytime I say you can't have dominion over it, or you shouldn't do this, subconsciously you're subject to that. And you then are under the control of it because of your mind. Your mind has given it dominion over you. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm. Say that again, please.
That's why I said some of you are very religious. Even though you may not think you are, religion has nothing to do with what you think. It's how you respond. It's by, if you are in a position where you consciously say that I shouldn't do this, this, or this, I shouldn't, or I should do this, this, and this, then the thing that you should or shouldn't do has dominion over you. And what you'll find is, by that act of dominion, you have given it power. It's the same as true in the spiritual realm. The only place where, I mean, if you don't believe demons exist, you're a fool. But the only time they have control is when you give them dominion. And you give them dominion by being afraid of them. That's why in the context of, you know, have we said this before, in Judeo-Christian ethics that the Western countries are about, I mean, it's the greater, they have more problems with pornography and rape, and because they are against them consciously, therefore they're subconsciously subject to them, because there's no dominion. They have said the same misunderstanding as the woman did, as Eve did here. She is trying to deify herself. That's the root of her saying you shouldn't even touch it. Am I communicating?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but why? You mean the woman was already trying to...
Even before she ate it.
Yeah. I mean, why did she misquote that? I mean...
Why did she?
Herself as God.
Yeah, but this is.
She began the process.
Okay.
When he first started talking to
the serpent.
Right.
Okay.
No, look. Okay, let's. No. And the serpent said unto the woman, "You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Now again, you've heard me say this so many times, but remember, in 1 Thessalonians, or in Thessalonians, it says that the Antichrist shall set himself up in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be as God. The only way you proclaim yourself to be as God is when you, knowing good and evil. You understand? This is big time stuff. This is basic issues of life. Rather than being free, living as the child, touching everything, getting burned every once in a while, but knowing that the Father will protect you, making mistakes, pushing all the limits, knowing, and the only thing that you're learning is trust, you spend your life circumcising yourself, saying, I should do this or I shouldn't do that, and you end up giving power to those things that you should or shouldn't do, and therefore, but the root of it is self-deification. You're concerned with self. You're taking yourself seriously. That's why Jesus said, you shall travel over sea and land to make one convert. And when he is made, you shall make him twofold the child of hell that you are. Now, the reason it's twofold is because inherently you're already a child of hell because you're of the seed of the devil. But not only are you that, now it's you're being taught consciously more do's and don'ts, goods and evils.
It's like they have their own trips and then you lay your trips on them.
Yeah. They have more trips. And that's what religion does. I mean, these are the issues of life here, folks. This isn't something that you can take lightly. This is something that you have to eat, have to understand. All right. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And now look. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves garments or aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Big time. Because now there was the first time that Adam and Eve had a self-consciousness. And once they had the self-consciousness, they begin to take themselves seriously.
Yeah, instead of naked, it could just as well read, God said, Who told thee that thou wast separate?
Yeah, really.
Further than that, they judged themselves immediately.
Man.
Because they hid.
They were afraid. They were afraid of God. There was
and they immediately ran for the groves.
Yeah, they'd already been.
They hid in the groves.
And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman that thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat.
Now that makes sense.
And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Now if you look, what we're talking about, somebody's always trying to stomp on a beast with a heel. There's all kinds of stuff we can talk about, which I have before, about why the heel. The word bruise, when it says bruise the head, it means to overcome the head. And again, that's what it means when it says, I run into young men, because you've overcome the head, or the evil one. Now,
the fact of the serpent being your mind relate to this command here about a snake crawling around my stomach? I see them separately. I mean, I see all of this up until it says this about the on that belly thou shalt go. And then I think of snakes. I know that's confusion on my part. I know that's ignorant. That's why I'm asking to have it cleared up.
Well, let's the idea that your mind I'm not sure I want to answer your question because I'm afraid if you could see your mind, it would be the most evil of all serpents. It would be not only but it would be 10 heads.
I felt that way before.
Yeah, and it would be I mean, it's that is the spiritual truth, and it's crawling around in the dust. This is, you are the dust.
Well, see, that's what's operating in me, you know, is childhood fear of snakes or something, you know, and that, you know, somehow the snake is related to Satan or some bullshit I picked up when I was 12.
Well, just leave it there for a while.
Okay. There's one real little thing here that I've never seen before, but part of the curse upon the serpent is that he will eat dust all the days of his life. He will take his sustenance from this dust of the earth.
Right. Yeah.
Now, the idea of a seed of woman being in battle with a serpent and the seed of woman piercing or overcoming or doing something to the head of the serpent is in a lot of cultures. In Egypt, the goddess pierces the serpent's head in a whole lot of the hieroglyphics. Krishna, an ancient Krishna in India, crushes the head of the serpent. Now, another thing that happens is, like in Phoenicia worshipped the serpent as the sun god. Right. Now, the idea, remember the predicate for all this is that the serpent, if we understood the story, the serpent should be the despised and rejected instead of the, but because if that were case, then it wouldn't be a conflict. So now something else is despised and rejected. It's the seed of the woman.
Despised and rejected by the serpent.
Yeah, I was thinking
that. Now, Let's look at what we studied the other night in Rosh Hashanah. Look at Numbers 21.
Something's rolling around in my head. It probably doesn't even relate, but I feel like saying it. Yeah, I was just sitting here realizing how utterly, even in what I'm getting ready to say, how utterly self-seeking it is in our language to say, well, I see this because it's always taken to self. And somehow seeing that tied in with brainstorm in how there is no true fellowship with language.
That's right.
Amen.
But you remember my one of my favorite quotations of Pascal is that vanity is so rooted in the heart of men that those who write about it want the glory of having written it well, and those who read it want the glory of having read it. Now, don't let that bend you out of shape, because Paul said in Romans, we are made subject to that vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. In other words, there had to be that vanity so that the warfare of the mind could produce and test the seed. So you rest even in that.
Yeah, there had to be that confusion of babbling of tongues.
That's right.
To test.
That's right.
I've never really realized it before, how total it is.
That's why, remember when we talked about the Tower of Babel? That,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, and that really amplifies the thing about that every mouth should be shut.
Right, that's the purpose of the law.
Even in Revelation.
Yeah.
Every mouth.
Yeah, you can't take revelation and run with it. You have to give it back up instantly or empty yourself instantly. Okay, Numbers 21. Verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, whereunto have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither there is any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery, or a brazen, is what it says, serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now, something's going on there. Now let's look again at 2 Kings 18, see what they did with it.
I always got that wrong.
Huh?
I always got that wrong. I thought the serpent on the pole was a bad thing. Didn't say it was intelligent. But I got it wrong.
2 Kings 18. Now you remember about Hezekiah, right? Remember that Hezekiah's Passover and all that. Okay. 2 Kings 18. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places, and brake the images, and cut down the groves, and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. Now, God just got through telling them a few years earlier to look to that serpent and be healed. Now he comes along and Hezekiah has to break that serpent up in little pieces. But why a serpent? Why? What's going on here? I mean, obviously the serpent has something to do. Well, let me tell you another interesting one. Does anybody know who that is? Asclepius. It's a Greek. He was a Greek god. He was a goddess. He was the god of medicine. Asclepius.
Yeah, they still take an oath in his name.
Now, you remember what the symbol of medicine is? It's a serpent entwined on a stake. Huh?
She's not here. In fact, he was a surgeon or something, wasn't he?
Well, Asclepius is one of those guys that has been appropriated in all of these different cultures, and so he read the White Goddess.
In our culture, I think he has something to do with cutting. I think he has something to do with surgeons.
Well, anyway, Asclepius in the Greek was pictured as an old man leaning on a staff with a serpent coiled around the staff. Now, in Rome, the serpents were worshipped as symbols of gods. In India, a cobra, you can't kill a cobra because a cobra is symbolic of a god. You know what a determinant is? Okay. And the reason that no one understood hieroglyphics until I found the Rosetta Stone?
Yeah.
Was that they didn't understand what determinants were. Now, a determinant is a concept where there is a symbol that means a word. And it's not cave-dwelling drawings. It's a very complex language, written language system. And that was what hieroglyphics were based on, was determinants. Okay, therefore, the determinant for the word goddess in hieroglyphics is a snake. But it's like a cobra. It's one little line that comes up, but it symbolizes a cobra or a puff adder or something that. Now,
that means goddess.
That means that if you're looking at hieroglyphics, that's a goddess. That's the determinant for goddess.
I could see that, but that's okay.
Huh? No, it's you wouldn't draw very well. Now, something about the false system always either worships the goddess or the snake and makes the seed the despised and rejected of men. Now, it's true universally, whether it's, and I mean, I'm not going to pick on Roman Catholics, but.
Do, please.
The idea that Mary is worshipped. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's because it all comes back to the harlot of Babylon. That there has to, the thing that's worshipped is I sit a queen and shall see no sorrow, as opposed to despised and rejected of men. Am I communicating to you?
Yeah.
Now, I want you to understand that that's your position. You automatically will try to appropriate either the serpent or the woman.
If all that's going on is either the bride or the whore, the false bride, then it has to be the nature of man to worship self,
right,
which is the woman.
Now, that's why you think it surprising if something negative befalls you. You think it a strange thing.
Because you're the queen.
Because you're the queen. You shall see no sorrow. As opposed to the seed, which is despised and rejected of man.
He's a man of sorrows.
Okay? Now, I said all that to introduce what we're going to study next, which is the next decon or constellation. Do you understand how the battle is? I mean, if you take on the identity and appropriate and know for certain who you are, you will be despised and rejected of man. But it doesn't matter. That's why it's so vital that in all your relationships, you'd be not committed unto men. Because that's the subtlety that's drawing you away from your permanent identity.
And that commitment is the hallmark of the whore.
That's right. That's why Christ said, unless you hate your mother, your father, your wife, your children, your husband, yea, and your own life also, you cannot be his disciple. You understand? A little bit. Now, we don't have time. Now, I'm tempted to do something here. I was going to say we don't have time to study Bodies tonight, which we don't. Bodies.
Booties.
But it's the next constellation of Virgo. But there is something also seminal in the idea of medicine. I mean, first cause. And it's connected with this that we're studying, and it's connected with a serpent. And I don't want to get in some wild tear about pick up serpents and they don't bite you, but I want you to understand that there is the real crux of faith is that the point it has to, I mean, the battlefield has to be at those critical points. I mean, it's no accident that the snake on a staff is symbolic of the medical profession.
Well, it's like healing is one of the big things of trying to play God, healing people.
But I just want to drop that in your consciousness and let it sort of gel around for a while. Okay? Well, that's enough for tonight.
Yeah, it was neat that he picked the snake to be the symbol.
Yeah.
Because when I was a kid, we used to always, a lot of snakes around the house, we'd kill snakes, and you had to kill them by crushing their head. You know, if you hit their tail, they'd turn around and bite you, and in the middle, they'd turn around and bite you, and get their head. You
gotta get their head.
That's true, I never thought of that.
You can't kill a snake.
Sure, the same thing.
Huh?
Well, I mean, it was. I never thought of it in the context of what it meant.
Snake's one of the few animals that you have to kill by their head. You can't kill them anyplace else.
This big old rattler that came out to sun himself, and that was it. Drop a rock on his head. Okay.
Poison on his head.
Yeah. I had a dream about 3 weeks ago about an 8-foot rattler. I mean, it was really wild, and I didn't even think about it at the time, and I told Pam the dream. She goes, wow, that's really neat, considering, you know, what the snake means and everything. It was spitting poison at everybody, and everybody was going, no. And you were preaching to it. I mean, you were preaching, and everybody was flipping out, and they kept biting people on the head.
He was in the band.
Yeah, you were in the band, but I mean, that doesn't matter. Just weird things about a band and being someplace. I mean,
I'm not going to go out there.
Ollie was the only one who wasn't flipping out. I mean, there's this 8-foot, I mean, this huge rattlesnake that has his mouth open, and he's shooting this poison. I remember I was just going, no, no, you know, and everybody's flipping out, kept biting people on the head. And then it's like, wow, that was man.
That's because Ollie knows the secret.
Well, I don't know.
If a rattler ever comes into camp, you don't run from it. You stay perfectly still.
Get out of the fucking camp.
Right. Well, I mean, it was like not acting like a normal a rattlesnake will bite, but this is like this shooting history. Poison.
Skunk.
You know, at
skunk?
Your face.
Yeah.
We had a skunk heresy.
Whatever.
Harry's idea of camping is. One time we went down there, he went down there. He and Hank Gillum drove down there and stayed for 20 minutes and said they'd seen the sewing machine and came back.
The nice thing is, if you have a power sunroof, you can open and stand up and wait.
Like a boat.
You don't have to actually get out of the car.
Take it, big guy.